Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful you could be with me today on this 11th day of June 2022. We're going to look at what is real. What is real? What does that mean? Get real, you know, that kind of thing. What is it when we're so deluded inside of ourselves that we have to kind of look at our living and make up stories that make us feel comfortable or make us feel self-righteous or whatever? I looked up the word real in the dictionary. Actually existing as a thing or occurring in fact, not imagined or supposed. Not imagined or supposed. Ain't that interesting? Isn't that just the very truth of our life? We make up what we want. We imagine. We imagine that the facts are what we want to believe that they are. We don't really see them for what they are. Used to emphasize the significance or the seriousness of a situation or circumstance. Now we're getting real, getting down to the core of it, the confines of our consequences, as it were. And we're looking at whatever is going on there in those confines. What is actually existing in our life as a thing or occurring as a fact? Only our thoughts. It is our thoughts that we deal with. It's our thoughts that we have to deal with. And they come to us via our interpretation of our need for survival and what that's all about. So with that all being said and the way we think about it, our reality is only based on our mental acuity, what we think of as real, what we think of as factual. And facts do change. We know that. Not imagined or supposed. Well, every thought is a supposition. Every thought is supposed. Everything is imagined. You imagine you're hearing me now. You probably imagine that you understand me. You understand this basic discourse. These are all things you deal with every day of your life. So do I. But what is real? What is terribly real? Well, to me, it's what's authentic. And the authentic comes from the state of origin. The only thing that can be real for a person who has begun their process of awakening is to be authentic, to come to the place where something is derived from source. The source of your life is what it's all about. So I get these questions, and I'm going to share them with you. These are from people who are, shall we say, deeper thinkers, people who have gone a little bit beyond the common means of logic and reasoning and want to go into something more objective rather than subjective. First question comes from Thomas, and he did not tell me where he lives. He asks a very simple question, and I thought it was very interesting. Can we know what is real? Thomas. Now, it depends, Thomas, on what you want to call the word know. Do you want to call it a thought? If you want to call it a thought, then you cannot have anything real in your life. If you want to go into the reality of life, if you want to go beyond the common thinking of yourself, you have to get to the place where you are no longer thinking in terms of reality. but thinking in terms of the authentic. To realize the source of your life, the source of your living, the source of everything that pertains to substance in your life. Where did you come from? What are your origins? What are you here to live for? Are you to live for comfort, security, finances, popularity, adoration, gratification? What are you living for? If you get to the idea of real, then the only thing that would be real to you in that regard would be only what your thoughts could conjure up, what your thoughts could believe, what your thoughts liked and disliked. Now you're really stuck, because your thoughts will be predicated on bias and prejudice. Now you'll only be able to think what your bias allows you to, or your prejudice tells you to. And you will miss what is authentic. You might think that situations are real, but are they? There's an old Zen story of the Zen master who was burying his son who had died in an accident. And they were moving to the place where they were going to cremate him. And one of his students ran up to him and said, "I thought there was no death. Why are you mourning? Why are you so sad? What is it that you've kept from us?" The master opened up the lid of the coffin and he pointed to his dead son there and said, "This is everything. This is the delusion and the illusion, and I am crying over my own delusion and my own illusion. My disillusion, my illusion, my disillusionment." You have to go to the source. You have to see the bigger picture. If you and I don't see that bigger picture, Thomas, we will make assumptions about what is reality. Death is a part of the reality of this world. But it is the authentic within you, that which is coming from the source, where you need to see things for the way they are and as they are. And when you see them in that light, when you see them in that livingness, you will find everything is about love. Not the love your body may want, your genetic heritage may want, but authentic love as it truly is. What does it mean to live in the significance and the circumference of the authentic? It means that I am no longer just going about my life trying to get what I want, think what I believe, and believe what I think. It means I return to authenticity. I return to the source of my life, and that is where I live, in the source of my life. Big L, not little L, big L. Life. Life is love. If you can see it from that premise, you will no longer be afraid. It is only when we took on the shroud of our human body that we became afraid. And we took on this shroud, this very heavy meat suit, as I call it, in order to sustain some sense of identity here on earth and to make real what we think is real. Anything that crosses the human body or makes of the human body whatever it is, to us is real, but we miss. Can we know what is real, you ask? You are that knowing. And yes, You are that real, but you will never know it from Thomas. He is not capable of that at all, nor is Greg. We must work from the source. That means meditation, awareness. We must be supple and aware. Consciousness, that is what should be the most important aspect of our life, consciousness. Let me give you one last thing before we go here. Krishnamurti said this, "Can a thought be silent?" Think about it. Can a thought be silent? That should provoke some insight in you. Thank you for your question, Thomas, and please forgive me. Namaste. Our last question comes from Heather in New York City. Please tell me, and this is interesting, tell me what's real. Am I real? Heather. Real is only relevant to this world, to the confines of society, the world, the body, the confines of the human body, which is a part of society and makes up society. To be deluded by appearances, to be deluded by right and wrong, good and bad, righteousness, to be deluded by the idea that life is something of an outer experience is to be misunderstood and being misunderstanding both. You have to come to life with a meditative point of view. If you want to know your living, you have to understand your life. Once you have a taste of life as love, your living will take on a new form, and you will never be the same again. Never. But few people can do this because they don't want to do it. It isn't that it's not in your makeup, in your capabilities. It's just that you don't want to do it. And whatever you don't want to do, most people don't do. That is to live meditatively, to live in consciousness, to always work not from impulse, but from love, and not to assume that love is impulse. Now, if you can do those things, which you can do, you're going to find it quite annoying to your mind that wants to work out of circumstance and conditions, always assuming that reality is based on what it knows and what it can think. Reality is beyond the comprehension, in my case, of the Gregory. So I don't go there. I listen to what is true. And I use that word true only in reference to love. Because if I have found this in my years of being a teacher and living, and I've changed through all sorts of things, gone through many, many things that you yourself are going through, I can tell you to use the logic and reasoning of how to make things work for the ego, for the pride, for the vanity, for the sake of righteousness is to miss the entire experience of our life. You have to want a love, realize a love that is greater than what you can believe in. And not many people, in my estimation, are worthy of that, much less interested in it. The worthiness comes from living in the sacred. And that sacred is in silence. Three things I teach my students: simplicity, solitude, and silence. I'm out of here. Thank you, Heather, for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a question, you know how to get a hold of me. Greg@aspire.org. That's Greg@aspire.org. Have a wonderful one. Be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Mm-hmm. Namaste.